Before we get started with this week's episode, we'd like to remind you folks that the Air Raid podcast is available at many places, including iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app for your smart device, CairoRadio.com, and the all-new Adore Network at Adore.fm. Let's get started with the episode. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 284 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a great show planned for you this week. Billy Yost of the band The Kickback is going to be joining us here shortly. We recorded this episode. Was it last week? Yeah, it was last week. In the tour van, as they were here in Seattle. The Kickback comes from, I don't know where they come from. Chicago. Why did I space on that? I don't know. Anyway, great band. Their album, Sorry All Over the Place, is out now, and we're going to be featuring music from that album. It's their first full length, and it's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So we talk a little bit about that, talk about how it was produced by one of the members of Spoon, and a whole bunch of other stuff, including how... Man, it gets a little heavy. It's part of our conversation. It kind of takes on how being a touring musician can, and in most cases will, destroy your relationships with your loved ones. So we get into that a little bit as well. Billy's just a fantastic human. And it was a great honor and a great pleasure to meet and chat with him. And I think you guys are really going to like this album. Once again, it's called Sorry All Over the Place. And you can go to thekickbackband.com to get yourself a copy. They're going back out on tour. They were on tour while they were here in Seattle, of course. But they go back out on tour on February 20th. That's a Saturday. They'll be playing at Lincoln Hall in Chicago, Illinois. February 22nd, 7th Street Entry in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Then the 24th, Wednesday, at Kung Fu Necktie in Philadelphia. Okay? And then it goes on and on. You can check it out again at thekickbackband.com. Okay? We'll get into that here in a little bit. First, oh my God, Timber Winter Music Festival was this weekend, and I had the honor of being the MC at this year's Winter version of the music festival, and it was so much fun. Oh my god, I had such a great time, man. The bands were amazing. The people that were there to see the bands were amazing. The crowd was so great. And everybody that works at these things, like the people from Artist Home, the people from the warehouse down in Tacoma who kind of run everything on stage, Gorilla Audio, who does all the sound, man. Everything was on point, and it was so much fun hanging out in the snow and basically just getting drunk. Getting drunk and listening to amazing songs and amazing music. It was so much fun. My web guy Sam was able to come out, so I hadn't seen him in like 3 years, man. We started catching up, and it was like, whoa, we really haven't seen each other in a long time. It's weird how social media kind of makes you forget that you haven't even seen somebody for that long. But you know, Sam and I interact on the web, the World Wide Web, all the time, and it was weird seeing him. It was kind of strange because it didn't feel like 3 years had passed. Maybe that's a function of getting older as well. I don't know. But it was so great, man. Hey, I gotta say this one thing though. I have stage fright. Okay, let's just launch into this really quick. I get stage fright, and when I do these MC things, It takes a lot of my mental brain space to be able to get up there and not drop the microphone because I'm shaking so bad. So I met quite a few listeners at this year's festival, and I'm sorry that I didn't like take a lot of time to talk with you guys, because I was you know, I spent a lot of the time kind of just prepping myself for getting back up on stage. And, you know, to make everything kind of run smoothly and stuff, I had a small little script of things that I was supposed to say. It was more like a bullet points of what I'm supposed to say. But, you know, it was like 2,500 people there, man. A couple thousand people. And it's kind of stressful having to get up there. So I apologize if it felt like I was very curt with some of you. I was very appreciative to meet you guys, and I apologize for making things short, and did not mean to sound like an a-hole. Okay, all right. Anyway, the bands were great. The sun was the sunshine on Saturday, and the snowy mountains was fabulous. It was such a good time, man. Such a good time. Hey, big thanks to Brittany Brave and Jeff Kilgore, who set this chat up. They come from this thing called The Syndicate, and they set up this chat with Billy Yost of The Kickback, and I am eternally grateful because they turned me on to them, and I have literally been listening to nothing except for the bands at Timberfest. I've literally been listening to nothing except The Kickback for like the last 2 weeks. And it's a fantastic album. We're going to go, let's see, with the first song off of the album. This one's called Sting's Teacher Years. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest this week, Billy Yost, lead singer of The Kickback. Stay with us, everybody. Be back in a moment.
I can make you get alive. as legitimate as possible.
Well, right. I mean, this is kind of cool. We've got some people, you know, camping, enjoying the...
That's a nice way of saying camping all year
Seattle
round.
Seattle weather.
Right next to the interstate.
Right.
Year-round camping.
Yeah. Have you seen this in your guys' travels? Have you seen this, like, a lot?
We've noticed when we tour the West Coast, there seem to be a lot more outside camping enthusiasts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Year-round camping.
In cities.
Yeah, in cities, yeah. Under overpasses, unfortunately.
It's kind of sad. Like, here in Seattle, it's had this, like, explosion.
Oh, really?
Recently? Yeah. Within, like, the last couple years, because it's gotten so expensive to live here.
Yeah. I think people just come here for the coffee and then don't know what to do.
Right. And the music.
There you go. Yeah, that's a better. Yeah. Sorry, I haven't had coffee in a while. I'm really, really needing some coffee.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm
willing to live under a bridge for a cup right now. That's where we're at.
Too far.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take that part out.
Okay,
fine.
Good.
That's fine. Billy Yost of the Kickback. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we already had time. See, you know, usually we don't have time to, like, learn each other's quirks.
Okay.
Yeah. Before the interview starts. So this is good because we just sat inside in the club and chatted for a little bit.
We figured out the high sign. When I simultaneously rub my knee and start winking at you, that means we need to cut this out,
mm-hmm.
which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes
mm-hmm.
a lot of noise, unfortunately.
Yep.
So when you hear rustling, you'll know we had to cut something
yep,
out.
Yep, and I gave you the signal for, you know, I put my finger across my throat.
Yep.
That means that I'm
love
going
you.
To kill you.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got that one pretty quick.
Right.
The second guess.
Yes. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, like I said... All joking aside, like I said, I've been consuming nothing but your album, your new album. Let's see, what's it called?
Sorry, all over the place.
Sorry, all over the place.
No, it's a lot of syllables.
I told you I was gonna forget that.
No worries at all.
For the last 3 weeks, I love this album, dude. It is so good.
That's really nice of you to say. I appreciate you saying that, and I'm glad you found something about it to enjoy.
Oh, you're so humble.
No. Oh, you don't understand. I'm wearing leather boots right now. There's only that humility only goes so far.
Is that right?
Yeah. You
no,
can
it's a great...
hate yourself a lot, but if you're wearing boots at the end of the day, like, you think you have something to prove.
I've never looked at it that way, but it makes sense.
Yeah, I just remember seeing guys in leather boots growing up and thinking simultaneously, that's the coolest guy I've ever seen, and I want to punch him in the face. And I don't know, I felt like I wanted to try and emulate that a bit.
You wanted to see how it felt.
Yeah.
Right?
It felt exactly like I thought it would feel. Half the time it feels really great, and half the time you want to punch your own self in the face.
Oh, okay.
So, well, keeping yourself grounded.
Yeah, you keep yourself grounded.
Sure.
You have this self-loathing in there. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Seems that's how it works out.
We're trying over here.
So, you said in the club that you'd been sitting on this material for a long time.
Yeah,
The album itself, was it mm-hmm. recorded a long time ago? Or?
Yeah, we recorded the album 2 years ago.
Yeah,
yeah. So we sat on it for 2 years trying to. I was really particular that we get to record it the way I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were even more particular about the way we wanted it to get put out if we worked so hard to record it the way we wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
So, for better or worse, we wound up sitting on it for way longer than anybody should sit on anything, ever. It was like our little mini Chinese democracy.
Yeah.
And hopefully doesn't sound like Chinese democracy. But
well, you don't have it. You do have the boots, but you don't have the cornrows yet.
Not yet. I didn't want to surprise, like, that was... what I've been working on for next tour, but now you blew it. So thanks a lot, Aaron. Appreciate that. It was going to be
no
a surprise to everybody.
Problem.
I was working on my main. But, no, we were just happy to finally get to put it out and to tour on it and kind of bank songs along the way.
Sure.
Get ready for, just kind of keep looking forward.
Yeah, yeah. So was part of that, like, searching for a label to, like, help you
yeah,
put it out and
that
stuff
was,
like that?
We went through, like, we had to... secure kind of management.
Yeah.
You know, all the kind of weird business stuff that you don't ever really count on actually happening.
Yeah.
And then it sort of happening, but it all taking much longer than you ever thought anything that you wanted to put out in the world could take. So it was... there were days where we just woke up and we're like, let's just put it on a SoundCloud and move on with our lives, please.
Yeah, yeah.
But fortunately, we were able to find a label, Julian Records, to put it out, and now we're touring our butts off.
Yeah. Had you ever been on a label before?
No. It's our first
label experience.
Yeah.
So was it pretty exciting? Like that seems like, because that's when I was playing music, like that, and like I was telling you earlier off air, like touring,
yeah,
was always like this dream,
sure,
you know, of like where you wanted to be at in a band and stuff like that. Just seems like the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's really exciting when it happens, and then you just kind of realize that if you're waiting for somebody to take care of you or for somebody to make things better for you or for something, we found that things happen much better for us if we're doing them ourselves a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the only reason you can get people to pay attention to you is if you're doing it yourself.
Yeah.
So I think we're still kind of a really sort of do-it-yourself sort of band, but having some help has at least provided some affirmation that we might know what we're doing a little bit.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And it's been cool to have somebody to blame when we run out with the entire payout and, like, make for the state line. We can just tell them to talk to the record label, and it's their fault.
There you go.
With all $72.
Has it been... Have you been finding that it's been received pretty well since it came out?
Yeah, we've... Yeah. There have been a few people who have mentioned the record that have... It's been nuts for me. Greg Dooley from the Afghan Whigs, who we didn't have any connection to, tenuous or otherwise, just randomly kind of tweeted about it. And was like,
really?
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
No, it was insane. And a few more people getting to work with Jimmy Eno from Spoon, who produced the record.
Yeah, yeah.
Spoon's one of my favorite bands in the world, so to have somebody like that be into your music was really gratifying.
Yeah. Was that kind of a nerve-wracking thing though, like working with a musical hero, somebody you looked up to?
At first it was like, when I'll never forget when he first like called to sort of do the introduction and see if we might want to work together. Like I just sort of nervously rattled off like every drum fill that I loved and every like drum sound of every song that they've recorded.
So you turned into like a Chris Farley character interviewing Paul McCartney.
I think it might have been worse.
You remember when Gaga came out?
No, it was worse. It was like, do you remember that live session from The Current in Minneapolis you did? I'm sure you remember your snare, that show, right? You remember? This was 7 years ago. That snare sound, like, how did you get that live? And Jim, to like his infinite credit, is just like, yeah, man, it was...
I don't know.
It was a fun time. But he's like the sweetest guy that's ever lived, maybe. If Jim was walking by the van right now, I would jump out and pick him up and put him on my back. Like, I love that man.
Yeah.
I'm a little uptight, and I've been told I'm difficult to work with. And Jim was a really nice counterbalance to me being a psychopath. Jim was always the cheerleader.
You feel like you kind of learned something in that experience? Like, did you kind of calm down a little bit?
No, I won't ever. But I liked having somebody there to keep calm, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? How do your bandmates feel about you? Like, being stuck in a van, are you kind of an asshole?
No, I think we do okay. We're four, like, very different people, and we've tried to find a way to embrace that.
See, that usually doesn't work out.
No, it usually turns into some real-world situation where one of us is naked and one of us has alcohol poisoning.
Right. But, and one of you is named Puck.
Oh, well, that's my favorite Alpha Flight comic book character, so that would be me, probably.
Alpha Flight?
Yeah.
I haven't thought about that comic book for a long time.
You know what? Nobody has.
Nobody has.
We stopped in a comic store today, and they had, trade paperback of, like, the greatest hits of the Alpha Flight collection, which was, like, 3 pages.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they were my favorite superhero team, a Canadian superhero team, growing up.
Was that Image Comics or Marvel or something?
No, they were Marvel, just nobody read it.
Yeah, I think I have number one.
Yeah, you probably bought it, like, currently for probably 85 cents.
Yeah.
Like, less than you'd pay for a new comic today.
Right. I remember it has, like, a big, like, Was there a character in Alpha
Dude,
Flight that
you
was
are
like
making
big
me so
white?
Happy right now? You that you didn't even knew what I was. I thought we were just. I was gonna say this. We were gonna move on with our lives.
No,
but
we're not gonna.
We are stuck down in it. You have some recollection.
We're gonna spend an hour on this.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all I wanted. That's all I've waited for somebody to say to me in my entire life.
I remember the cover of Alpha Flight number one. It was like a big, and I don't know, because I don't even remember what the inside of the comic had in it, but there was like a big white furry character.
Well, there's Sasquatch, who was the rumored Bigfoot of the North. He was actually
that was one of the characters in the Alpha Flight team, right?
Yep. And then there was a big white. There's a woman who could change into various white animals. Her name was Snowbird. She turned into an owl or a wolf.
Okay. That's not what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of like the big like Sasquatch kind of character.
Yeah,
cuz it was like on an orange almost like an orange background and it had black lettering.
Yep. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I found one of 3 Alpha Flight t-shirts that were created for public consumption on eBay and I didn't have to pay more than $30 for it.
For all 3.
Yeah. It was pretty close.
Yeah.
Or better or worse.
So are you a comic book kind of kid?
Yeah, I like comics and yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Alpha Flight being your favorite?
Yeah, so I don't know what kind of comic kid that makes you. That just makes you sort of
every kid's got their favorite book, dude.
Yeah, but I feel like I was just begging to have my ass kicked repeatedly. Because not only is it a superhero team nobody knows of, but it's one that gets free healthcare. Like, screw you, man. Go back to where
I
you
had
came
no
from.
Idea they were a Canadian super group.
Yeah, they were the one and only. Actually, they weren't the only, but we don't need to get into that because the people who don't care right now would multiply infinitely if we started talking about the subdivisions of that Alpha Flight program.
Well,
there's
on
Beta
the,
Flight, there's Gamma Flight.
The, one thing that always makes me excited about, like, comic books again
cocaine.
Is like the movies that are coming out now of like the really good books like Preacher.
Yeah, that's
you know
be cool.
Like the show is coming out and I think it's on like what is it on AMC or something like that.
I think
or,
it's AMC. Yeah, they're trying to find a way to replace Breaking Bad.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about that even though I don't have cable.
There are
so
ways.
I gotta figure out.
There's some Russian websites doing crazy things. You can
watch
dude. Them.
You don't have to tell me.
Yeah, your computer will turn red and start spewing out Matrix-like lingo, but it might be worth it.
Projectfreetv.com.
Oh, you can't say this on air.
Well, it changes. The IP address changes. Every time you visit it, it's like a different IP address or something like that. And there's all sorts of different pop-ups on it. Like, you got to, like, figure out how the pop-ups work to tell which one's fake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Because every time I use the site that I'm not going to mention, I wind up with 5 samples of, like, Mexican pharmaceuticals that I didn't want, but somehow they found my address.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's a little unnerving.
Yeah. So I think I've got that covered. But the one that's really got me excited, and I'm hoping that it's... That they're still kind of, I think they're in like pre-production right now. They're still writing it.
Okay.
The Boys.
I don't think.
Have you read that one?
No, I haven't.
Have you read that book?
No.
Oh man, that's a good one.
Who put that one out?
I can't remember. I think it's Marvel.
Okay.
But it's super dark.
Okay. I mean, I like it already.
Super dark. Simon Pegg is character in the book. They wrote Pegg into the comic book. And it's all about these, like, it's almost kind of like a Mystery Men kind of deal where it's like, you know, these superheroes or kind of like Mystery Men / Watchmen.
I have to put this in my phone right
now.
Yeah,
you got to check it out. The Boys. All these superheroes are huge assholes. They've all got sponsors and everything
that. I like it.
And they're huge jerks and there's like, you know, they're into some bad stuff, and then they start getting, I think they start getting popped off. Or no, Simon Pegg is part of, like, a group. It's been a while since I've read it.
No, that's okay.
But I think Simon Pegg is part of a group that actually goes after the bad superheroes.
I would watch Simon Pegg, like, do his business on a toilet.
Dude, it is so good.
Okay.
So good.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm taking it you were a fan of the new Star Wars, too, right? You got some nerdy tendencies here.
Yeah. I think I liked it.
What?
I think I think I liked it.
That's all. What?
I'm from the.
You think you did?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. Do you? All right. This is the problem. My top moment from that entire experience.
Yeah.
Was watching the preview for that zoo movie where the sloth gets the joke and then his face turns into a huge smiley face.
Oh yeah. Where it took forever. He was working at the DMV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my. That's what I remember most about watching the new Star Wars movie.
Are you? What?
I know. And
were like, you a Star Wars fan? Were you like an original Star Wars fan?
Yeah, we're talking. Like I knew all the names of the bounty hunters. Like,
okay.
Like Dengar.
IG-88.
Yeah, Dengar, Bosk.
Bosk was one of my favorites. I used to chew on his legs.
Did they taste particularly different from the
No,
other?
They just had a great texture when I was a child.
Wait a minute. Are you on ecstasy right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I was at the age of 5, but...
I had a massive ecstasy addiction at the age of 5. I just imagine you at, like, a little mini rave.
No, don't you remember? I mean, you had... there were, like, toys when you were a kid that, like, you could chew on. Right? Like, the...
Dude, I don't mean to put you out on a boat all by yourself here, but you might be on a boat all by yourself.
Yeah.
Viking funeral style.
Yeah. No, there's a couple of toys that I remember. There was one of the He-Man characters where you would push him down... on his legs.
Yeah.
And he would pop back up.
Okay.
And he had like these kind of ribbed legs.
Oh, I don't
know. And I used
like
to chew on that
going.
Too. Because it's the texture of the come on, guys.
So no, I'm just saying, so when you had to go see the behavioral therapist, like what did you guys talk about? When you had to see somebody about this behavior.
Lots
that your parents
of stuff,
were concerned
man.
About.
Lots of stuff. That's a therapist patient privilege.
Oh, that's
Dr.
totally
Paper,
fair.
Patient privilege, yeah.
I had Sorry. To go to speech. I obviously have a little bit of a lisp. It used to be much worse. But I went
I didn't even
speech.
Notice it until you
well,
said it.
It's nice of you to say.
Yeah.
But
I'm a nice guy.
That's what I've been told. I have yet to see any evidence of it. But yeah, so if you were seeing a child, in this situation, you were hypothetically seeing a child psychologist, and I was actually seeing a speech therapist. We just wasted like 3 very good minutes that we can't ever get back.
Nope.
I'm sorry.
Nope. Nor can the listeners.
I like Star Wars. Let's keep it
okay.
there.
Okay. Keep it there?
Yeah, I like it.
All right.
And I think J.J. Abrams probably had to make a lot of concessions to a lot of very different people.
Oh, I'm sure he
but
did.
I bet it's going to get cool. And I think they established a cool groundwork. I just expect too much from what I love, which is why I kill everything I love.
You know, yeah. I think I went in with pretty low expectations
oh, that's good.
This time.
Yeah.
You know? And I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I don't think, like, it still doesn't replace, like, the old ones for
right.
me at all.
Right.
You know? I mean, probably my favorite movie of all time is still Empire Strikes Back.
Empire's good.
And I've got my
kid. So you are a kind of downer guy.
Oh,
are you
going
to show your kid that one and be like, this is what life is really like?
Oh, dude, she's already highly obsessed. She's 4.5 years old. She's highly obsessed with her. Darth Vader is her favorite character. Like, she has several Darth Vader toys.
I sense some things going on at home that I'm not particularly sure I'm okay with.
Once again, Dr. Patient Privilege, my friend. Can't talk about it.
That's fair. I just like the idea of her watching Empire for the first time and not understanding that there is no resolution to this story and that things actually aren't okay, and her turning around and looking at you and you going, welcome to life.
I will show you a picture on my phone that I prepared. I sat there prepared to take a picture of her face when she saw Empire Strikes Back for the first time and found out that Darth Vader is Luke's dad.
She lose it?
She lost it. That's... Like, it's like an oh shit face.
Yeah.
Right? And she's only three at that moment,
right.
but she
but
got
she still
it.
Got it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, she understood, and she's just like, what?
I like that you're a parent that will show your child a movie that might scar them at a young age, because my parents were the same way with me, and I'm still grateful that they let me watch things that maybe had a small chance of creeping me out when I was a kid.
Yeah?
Yeah,
what,
I think
like,
that's
what,
important.
Do you was there one in particular that kind of messed you up?
I had a really love-hate relationship with the Muppets.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, nobody really prepares themselves for some of the scarier moments of the Muppets.
Yeah.
Like, the Muppets can mess you up hard. And I can, like, if you want to get on YouTube, if you and I could have a night of it, sir. Like, if you want to sit in this van, we can just imagine this.
Okay, okay.
A couple of candles. I'll just pull up some Sesame Street bits that terrified me as a child. Like, people didn't understand that with, like, just a
like
little
the
bit
bigger,
of...
Like, the bigger, like, costumed characters
oh,
and
no.
stuff?
No, we're talking about just... ambiance of
okay.
certain sketches.
Okay,
like,
okay.
With the lighting the wrong way and with the puppet looking ever so slightly kind of in the wrong direction where he looks like he's looking at you and is going to come
right.
for you in the night.
Yeah.
Like, a couple of those sketches can mess you up. Not a couple. Dozens.
No, I totally agree with you, because I had that same thing with Fraggle Rock. There was one episode of Fraggle Rock.
One?
It was the it was like the monster that ate. I think it was the monster that ate like the crystalline bridges and
okay.
stuff that the little green guys used to build. You know what I'm
Dozers.
Talking about?
Yeah,
Dozers. Yeah,
I think I know. I think I know that episode. Did you know that HBO's first hit television series was not The Sopranos or...
It was Fraggle Rock.
Yeah, it was Fraggle Rock, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But, yeah, so part of the reason I love the Muppets so much is because they own anywhere on the emotional spectrum, they own your ass. Like, it's over. If Henson wants to make you cry, he's going to make you cry.
Sure.
If he wants to send you into nightmares for years, he could do that fairly easily, especially to kids. And then if he wanted to make your heart swell with love and admiration, he could also do that. But that's part of the reason I love so much of the Muppets stuff, is because it could cripple you from a variety of angles, and I've tried to sort of work some of that into the band.
You know what, that's a great spot to take our second musical break.
Great.
We're featuring music from The Kickback on this here episode, from the new album, Sorry All Over the Place.
You got it.
Got it right.
Yes, sir.
Dude. This one's called Headhunters, one of my favorite tracks off the album. And very, very kind of reminiscent of The Police, like early Police.
Yeah, it was supposed to sound like a Jawbreaker song, and then I remember my brother suggesting we throw a couple, a nice little three-part harmony on it, and it turned into a Police-ier version of things,
dude.
Pretty quick.
I was singing along to it this
cool.
weekend.
Thank
in
you.
My car by myself, of course, because I don't sing in front of anybody else.
I shouldn't, so I understand.
Headhunters by The Kickback, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
Oh, you're up to see me. doesn't matter.
Some of the sillier stuff, but I want to find out a little bit more about you and your musical process, Billy.
Okay.
Now, you said, like, some of your favorite, like, comic books were these Canadian superheroes. Were you Canadian? Did you grow up in Canada?
Close. I grew up in South Dakota.
Okay.
I spent my first 21 years in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Which I think we share kind of a lot of similarities, maybe, with some of the Canadians. We also have way more guns. And aversion to strangers. But
yeah.
That said, I really liked growing up there. I think one of the things Jim said he liked about the record, that it was sort of naive in a lot of ways, which I took as a real slam at first.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have a choice either way, I guess. But I think a lot of that was sort of growing up in a town of 2,000 people. For a lot of the time.
Yeah, I grew up in a small town myself.
Where are you from?
Here in Washington, small town called Indianola, which is actually across the water from Seattle.
Oh, cool.
And it was population when I was growing up there. I think it was I want to say it was about like 800.
Oh no way!
Yeah,
you got me
right on the beach. You know, so it was very like full of hippies.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just a fantastic place to grow up.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I like,
although
you
hate it once you get become a teenager.
Yeah, it's neat to hear people though that like you can find something to dig about the way you grew up.
Sure.
Like, I'm really grateful. Like, you know, the limited culture and everybody knew everybody's philanderings and or drug abuse, but in which one of my family members was in rehab at what time, like that made it around town pretty quick, but it was still like, I'm so grateful I grew up there.
Yeah
And then you can leave if you want.
Did you get to a point where you just had to get out though? Like,
yeah, I graduated from the University of South Dakota in Vermilion, South Dakota. You probably haven't heard either of those things.
Nope.
but that's fair. But I had a teaching degree, and we just started touring, and I knew I just was going to do anything I could to play music as much as I could.
Yeah, yeah.
So I moved to Chicago, and I was able to track these yahoos down.
Yeah.
And we've been just kind of on the road and trying to find a life in music anyway, kind of by any means necessary.
Yeah. Well, where did music start for you? Did it start at a pretty young age? Were your parents into playing music?
No, my mom really liked music. My dad listened to like The Doors and AC/DC at all hours in the garage.
Yeah?
Yeah, and
he was one of those guys?
No, it was weird, man. Like, to establish dad credibility,
yeah.
Like we'd just be playing like Sega downstairs.
Sure.
And so he'd walk down the stairs and he'd just be like, rock and roll, hoochie coo. And it wasn't to any melody. And it would take me a while to figure out, like, oh, that's a Stones song. Or, oh, that's from a Doors song.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he was trying to be like, hey, I'm hip. I'm with it. Or if he just, like, messing with us and agitating us. Because I think all the Yosts in my family have, like, a real urge to, like,
just poking
the side. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But he would just sort of, like, freeform poetry delivery style, like Ted Nugent lyrics, which, if you can believe this, don't really lend themselves to like slam poetry style delivery.
Right. Yeah. I just like picturing like somebody up on like a really quiet stage reciting the lyrics to Cat Scratch Fever.
Yeah. But, and Dad wouldn't even necessarily, like, it wouldn't be the lyrics. He would just say, like, the title. He'd come down and be like, Cat Scratch Fever! And then would just let it drop. And then we'd just keep walking into the laundry room.
I think I love your dad, though.
No, I love my dad, too.
But he sounds great.
Yeah, he's a weird guy. I had five older brothers.
Uh-huh.
Solid Catholic family.
Oh, wow.
And we're spread out over 20 years. So there's 20 years between me and my oldest brother. I'm the baby.
Really?
Yeah.
20
yeah.
years?
Yeah, man. My parents got it done.
Wow.
I don't ask, and I don't probably want to know.
So were you ever, like, really... Are you close with that brother?
The oldest?
Yeah.
No, I don't know him very well.
Yeah. That's what I would figure.
But that's... all those boys were involved either directly or... indirectly with the music business as much as you could be in South Dakota. Yeah.
Okay.
So they were touring, or they were playing locally, or they were going to shows, and
so they were all into playing music as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. So It was for me growing up, it just seemed like a thing you could do that
right.
didn't seem wild or ridiculous or stupid, and that sacrificing everything to do it didn't seem that ridiculous. Even though I was sort of watching these people I loved, like, burn out in either really sad or sort of gloriously amazing kind of
right,
way.
Right, right, yeah,
For short or long periods of time.
Uh-huh.
But,
were you ever able to see one of your older brothers, like, play music
yeah,
and stuff? Did you ever go to their shows?
As much, any all-ages show
uh-huh.
we would go to. And I had brothers who would play in the same bands a lot at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And, There was one show where they let me, I think I was 12 years old, and they let me come up and play percussion, and I could, you know, like, fake it, okay, I had
yeah.
decent rhythm, but it's still, like, the greatest feeling I think I've ever had in my life, and, like, I've tried to tell them how much that meant to me,
mm-hmm.
and they're just, I think they get it, but...
it's like, shut up, Billy.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of that. Yeah, yeah, a lot of that. It's great because I've got one brother that drummed in a like successful sort of Midwestern circuit kind of band. They were
yeah.
sort of like a U2 Collective Soul kind of thing.
Okay.
But on the other
okay.
side of it, he's a high school football coach. So like you, what's that profanity? Are we trying to
keep
it
clean
here?
You can swear.
Like
yeah.
my brother Andy is fucking terrifying if
yeah.
he wants to be. So
like just a built guy.
Yeah. He's scary.
Uh-huh.
He's like army scary. So on one hand, he's like playing drums in this cool thing that I think is amazing and is living this really cool life, or
yeah.
looks cool to me. But on the other hand, he's like, he's making fun of anybody else that's involved because they're a bunch of like lame, tight pant wearing like douchebags.
Right, right.
So it's, I had that sort of set in very early that if you want to do this whole like ridiculous thing, that's cool. But if you're not going to call yourself out on being ridiculous, like... somebody's gonna check you for it, so you better check yourself.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
No, that's how I've gone through life.
Yeah,
like
a sad but a humble, right. at least attempted
right.
humble way to
you
go.
You point
through
out, like you get to it first, right?
Yeah.
So somebody can't
somebody
make
else
for
is
you,
going to.
Make fun of you for it.
Yeah.
Like I probably would have been a pretty good candidate for being a comedian.
Yeah, man. If you can, it's self defense, but I also think hopefully it keeps you a little bit grounded. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think so.
Or at least only wearing, like, black leather boots
yeah.
half the time.
Yeah. 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 Or it just makes you look just sad.
Yeah, I feel like that might come out more
than
there's
one of two ways it can go.
Yeah. But it was really cool to have brothers to look up to.
Yeah, that sounds awesome, man. Like, I had a friend, I grew up with a friend whose brother was... in kind of a successful band in
okay.
kind of the area that
yeah.
we lived in, you know?
And like, your idea of successful at that age is... I mean,
dude,
I'm sure
they opened
saw...
up for Gas Huffer. Like, that was cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was one of the first shows I ever went to.
Yeah.
And seeing my buddy's brother play, you know, opening up for Gas Huffer was amazing.
No, it blows...
You know?
It blows your mind. You
yeah.
see these people in a completely different light than, like, punching you...
Right,
or,
right.
Oh,
he
you,
was a complete
or,
dick to me,
yeah.
too. Like,
yeah,
he was, I mean, he was an awful, awful human.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I look back on times like that where,
yeah.
like, with this one time, can I tell you this story?
Yeah, I want to hear this.
It's my show, so I'm going to do it anyway. But used to overstay my welcome as a child.
Yeah.
And
you'd be hanging out, chewing on everybody's toys.
Chewing on the legs of Bosk. You know, they're like, God damn it, Rodan's chewing on my Star Wars figures. But I didn't get the hint that I was supposed to go home.
Sure.
And they all sat down for dinner.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so I'm just chilling, waiting for him to get done
with
dinner.
Oh, no, you were
kid. Oh, yeah, I was that kid. And then I was playing around with the older brother's whoopee cushion, and I sat down too hard and busted it, right?
Yeah.
And he heard it pop. And he picked up this little mini basketball and threw it. They were all really into sports too, and so he was a good throw.
He just whipped
it and just right in the face.
Yeah, do you have glasses?
Basketball right in the face. No, I wasn't wearing glasses at the time.
So mitigated it slightly.
Maybe, or it just would have sent glass shards into my eyes.
That's a good point.
But it hurt. It hurt really bad. And I got the hint. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go home.
So do you look back on that as a lesson or a, wow, that guy was a dick?
I think it was partly my fault. Like, I should have left.
Yeah.
You know? It was probably a lesson.
Somebody needs to demonstrate that.
I don't know.
For you.
Right.
Yeah.
That story really didn't go anywhere, but...
I'm glad you told me.
You know, it outlined how much of a jerk he was.
It's going to make you and I hanging out in here with candles watching YouTube videos a little less weird because we're like building a foundation.
I think so. Yeah, we're bonding, right?
Yeah, I feel good about this.
Yeah, yeah. So what was the impetus to getting the degree in teaching? Did you want to be you think that was going to be your path?
I walked into freshman orientation and they asked what I was going to do, and I said I'm going to run for Senate. So that was...
You actually said that.
Yeah,
that's not a joke.
No, it's not a joke, which makes me look like a fucking idiot. And
so you were into politics.
I had an unsuccessful bid for the school, the city school board.
Okay.
Not like the student council, but like as a senior in high school, I ran for a seat on the school board.
Yeah.
I lost by 70 votes, which seems close unless you're talking a town of 2,000 people, then it sort of seems like a mandate still
to
keep me the hell out of there.
Right.
But,
And I had a kid on the school board.
Yeah, I got my parents took out ads in the local paper.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I still have this email from my dad telling me how proud he was of me.
Yeah,
and I will look at it once a year and get teary.
That's fantastic.
But about a month in, I was like, I'm not a poli sci major. This is not happening. This whole thing seems really ugly. And I live in a state that is crazier about abortion than most third world countries.
Right.
So. This is probably not going to pan out very well. Also, I've been playing in high school bands. I should try and get some guys together here. And I put up flyers for people looking for like early Green Day and early Alkaline Trio.
Yeah.
And then gave them a reference CD of songs that had nothing to do with that. And then we started playing music that sounded nothing like either of those two things.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know, you like play your first couple of shows out of town and...
And you got the bug.
Yeah. It was... So, about halfway through college, all you're trying to do is figure out a plan that will both not disappoint your parents and who are both teachers, both educators.
Yeah.
And I have two brothers who are both educators as well.
Gotcha.
And the rest could have been great teachers. And just trying to find a way to make music your life as much as you can. So my plan, my great plan, which... If anybody has a plan that carries through that they make early on in their life and they're able to make it come true, like that's not necessarily a successful thing. I've realized because I'm going to be a substitute teacher. That way I can tour whenever and devote almost all my time to music. And that's what I've done for close to 10 years.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I've done. And it's exactly what I've done. So...
So is it just like, I mean, so is music more of a thing like you look at it like, well, this is kind of what this is what I want to do. But if it doesn't work out, I've got a fallback plan? Or is it like I'm going to make this happen?
Music is going to kill me one way or the other, or a third way or a fourth way. But like my life without music is of no value to me, really. I can't imagine not playing music. It's what I've... And it's not good. It's not in like a great way either. Like, I expect way too much out of, like, I expect the songs I write to, like, make me feel better. I expect thing like music to heal me, and it doesn't, because it's not supposed to that way.
Yeah.
I'm way in over my head in sort of this whole thing, which is starting to sound vaguely crazy. I apologize. But like, I have to do this however I can, because life otherwise doesn't have a lot of
Do you get enjoyment out of it, though? I mean,
yeah, it's, yeah, but it becomes more like breathing, and you have to remember to appreciate it, as opposed to it being what gives you, like, reason and drive. And you have to remember to look up and love what you're doing, because you come to rely on it so much. I should probably work some stuff out, but other than that, I...
Doctor patient privilege, man.
Yeah, there's some things I can't tell. I've been chewing on some things.
I mean, it sounds like you... It's a very serious endeavor.
Yeah, but it's also hilarious, and it's childish, and it's, we're four men in a van. But, like, I've, I ran a marriage into the ground because of this. I have willfully neglected every other important thing in my life to try and make a life in music work.
This is the reason that your marriage
dissolved? Yeah, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. When you miss every anniversary and every birthday and put it as the number one thing and make everyone else in your life work around your obligation to yourself, it's not a recipe for a very successful union.
Yeah. It sounds like you have a lot of guilt.
Yeah, I do.
In that.
But you also, like, I'm not sure I could or want to live any other way. I wish I was wired differently.
Yeah.
I think I would love to have a desire to, like, go on vacations and work and have money and, you know, do all these things that I see a lot of people my age being able to do, and it looks really cool, and I would like a part of that. But I also have this thing inside me that's broken and dependent on music. I love it, you know, more than anything.
Yeah. Is it the creating, or is it all encompassing, like the travel, the touring, the, you know, being in a van with four other guys, you know, going from place to place, seeing the country? Does that play into it too? Is it a need to kind of be out and doing that, or is it just kind of the creation part for you, the more the artistic part? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. The creating part's really hard for me. Uh-huh. Like, you read about Tom Petty writing, like, Free Fallin' in 10 minutes or whatever, and I don't understand that very well. So a lot of the times I'm sitting at home, like, eyeing my guitar from across the room, just like, I'm gonna fucking do this. Like, we're getting into this right now, whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of, like, trash-talking your guitar.
Yeah. What's your problem, man?
Yeah, stop looking at me that way! But the sort of relief you can get when something you've been working on and the guys have heard and you come to practice and you play through it for the first time is there's not a better feeling except maybe playing in front of people. Mm-hmm. And the good to bad, you have to spend a lot of time not loving stuff to really relish those great moments where the payoff is there and you've made something that you're really proud of. And that's fleeting too, because you wind up pretty much hating everything you've ever made and just wanting to push forward.
Right.
But I don't know. It's, I wouldn't recommend this for anybody, but
you've had to have some good times though,
no,
right?
If this appears that I'm driven by sadness and can only take refuge in music because I'm
I don't believe you are.
No, I just it's like that Lenny thing where you love the rabbit so much you're just squeezing it to death.
Right.
And you have to be sure to, like, let go and pet it every once in a while, make sure it's still breathing.
Yeah.
Lest you squeeze too hard.
Right. So have you patched things up with your ex? Like
oh,
does
this,
she,
this is getting heavy.
Does it understand? Does she understand?
Crazy like, heavy.
Like that this is how you are? Like,
She understands better than I do, which is why she had to make the adult decision.
Oh, really?
Because she knows how... Yeah. She knows what I'm capable of and not capable of.
Sure.
In terms of doing what I feel like I'm kind of built to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, sorry to hear about that, man.
I probably shouldn't have even brought it up, frankly. But she's wonderful.
I can cut it out if you want to.
No, it's fine. I don't think she'll probably wind up hearing it.
Yeah.
But it's strange how many people you meet on the road who are kind of going through similar stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the first one, like, walking through this.
Yeah, which yeah.
Can be kind of comforting and kind of make you feel unoriginal.
Well, it's a tough business, man. Like, I mean, you gotta, you know, if you want to make a go of it and you want to turn music into the thing that you do for a living, you have to be away.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Like, because if you don't go away, it's not happening.
Right.
That's bottom line.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
there's only few and far between to people who can actually make a living sitting at their house.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it doesn't really work that way.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, and that's when I have something I like, again, like you either do it as hard as you possibly can,
sure,
or you're just sort of like a pale imitator. And like, I have to work this hard to make music that I hate half the time and I'm just trying to constantly make better. So I can't imagine the crap I'd be putting out if I was just doing this as like after I do X, Y, and Z, I'll maybe get around to working on some songs.
Yeah.
It's just always trying to make another song better.
Do you guys have some new material that
that
you are playing as well?
We do, and I'm really, really excited about it, and we are hopefully gearing up for a second record fairly soon.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Pretty. Well, like I said, dude, I've literally been consuming nothing but your guys' first album for the last like 3 weeks. I think it's insanely good.
I really appreciate
and have been trying to like turn as many people onto it as possible. Like, cool. Check this out. The part of my problem though is that your publicist sent it to me before it was out.
Oh, really?
And so I was operating under the assumption that it still wasn't out.
Oh, okay.
So I was telling everybody, don't tell anybody about this. Like, I was doing the cool guy thing.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, you guys want to hear something that hasn't been released
yet?
Yeah,
it was weird, though, because you were wearing, like, a trench coat whenever you talked to these people, which I think creeped everybody out.
Yeah.
And you should have been wearing clothes underneath was the other thing.
But instead, I'm highly obsessed with the show Futurama, right?
Yeah.
There's always the guy in the back alley that's just selling, like, eyeballs and organs.
Yeah. Well,
you want to buy a liver?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's great, and I can't wait to hear some new stuff, too, so I hope you guys keep me posted on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
As
soon as we possibly can.
So this tour is going to come to – this leg of the tour is going to come to an end.
Yeah, in a few days.
In a few days?
Four or five days. I think on Saturday – No, we were out here for another week. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So this episode is going to go up on Monday.
So we will be driving as fast as we possibly can to get home for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And to just stare at the wall.
Yeah.
And not each other for 2 weeks.
And then you're
weeks.
Going back out.
Yeah, for like a month and a half.
Yep. And what's that? East Coast?
It's East Coast. That's Southeast. That's Texas for South by Southwest.
Okay.
And then back up. I feel like I have this picture in my head of all of us like, pushing the van with one of us in a cast and one of us who's like lost an eye,
right?
And maybe with wearing an eye patch, just like desperately pushing with the Sears Tower in the background,
and you in the back seat reading Alpha Team,
and making everybody call me Sir William.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm
into like
that.
That.
I can get behind that for sure.
I think it's gonna work out.
Cool, man.
Yeah,
I think we've made some progress here today.
We got through some rough shit. We did. What else should we plug? Website?
Yeah, thekickbackband.com. We need two more Instagram followers. I know it's probably not going to matter when this goes up, but we're so close to hitting a good number, a nice even number.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say what that number is. I want to inflate our importance and make you think we have way more followers than we do. But if we still haven't gotten 2 Instagram followers, please just jump on the kickback. I promise the things we post are intermittent and occasionally enjoyable.
Yeah.
We're on Twitter. But please just listen to the record.
Yeah.
Or stream it. We're not going to make any money off of a record anyway, so just hear it any way you can. It's called Sorry All Over the Place, Please.
Yeah, yeah.
Please.
Is it on, people can get it digitally on iTunes. And
yep.
And
I think when they,
at your shows
hear this,
as well.
If you hear this early enough, it's on. It'll be on Amazon for $5. You can grab it.
Oh, cool.
Through the end of, I don't remember. I don't. How are you?
I'm fine.
That's great.
I'm good.
You have anything?
You're tired. You need to. You know, get your head straight before the show.
Yeah, I think we're gonna go get
some
coffee.
It's understandable.
It's gonna be good. I feel good.
Billy Yost, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun. All right, that was a super, super fun chat, man. And yeah, never done one of those in a tour van before, so that was interesting. Hope you guys didn't mind hearing the noises of the street outside of the Fun House here in Seattle, Washington. But can't be helped, man. Can't be helped. All right, deal with it. Oh, once again, thank you to everybody who came out to Timber Winter Music Festival. This last weekend, it was so much fun. Oh my god! I even got Troy Nelson of KEXP to come up on stage with me, do a little bit. We had a little MC off, and then I kissed him on the lips. That is not a joke. That is not an exaggeration. I kissed him on the lips, and it was hairy. It was so much fun. Oh my god, what a weekend! I'm having like separation anxiety from it, from being away. I love it. I love you, everybody at Artist Home, everybody at Guerrilla Audio, everybody at The Warehouse, Gary Mula. I love you guys. Thanks for making it such a memorable weekend. And of course, thank you to the crowd that came out for it. You guys are awesome, man. Awesome. You made it so, so easy. Just so easy. All right. You can subscribe to Air Raid on iTunes. And if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. It only takes a couple seconds to give us a star rating, and it helps us out immensely in the long run. We're also available on the Stitcher, TuneIn, Cairo Radio apps, and now the Spreaker app. You can find us right there at the Adore Network, all right? Or just visit air-raid.net to subscribe directly to our RSS feed. Keep in touch by liking our Facebook page at facebook.com/theairraidpodcast. Our Twitter handle is @airraidnet. You can tweet at us there. Or you can email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. And remember to take the pledge, folks. Take the pledge to tell somebody about this show. Bring it up in conversation. Tell your mother, your sister, your brother, your father, your friends, your cousins. Man, we'll even take your second cousins. Yeah, we're going down that hole, man. All right? All right, we're going to end the episode with another song by this lovely band, The Kickback. And let me see here. This one's called White Lodge. Off of the album, the all-new album, Sorry All Over the Place. I highly, highly recommend this album, you guys. The whole thing is fantastic through and through. Like I said, I've been listening to it nonstop. White Lodge by The Kickback. And we'll be back next week with an all-new episode of Air Raid for you, okay? Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week. We'll see you then.